Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, good afternoon. I'll give you the information I have on the injury report heading into this week here, at least as we know it today. So Ed Oliver, we are hopeful. We'll see where that goes this week. Matt Milano, he's week to week. He tweaked that pec in the game yesterday, so he'll be week to week. TJ Sanders, not ruling him out. We'll see where it goes. We're going to take it one day at a time here, so we're still working through it. Dorian Williams improving. He's day-to-day, and we'll see how things go over the next couple of days with him. Connor McGovern hurt his hand during the game yesterday, last night, and we'll be hopeful that he can go this week. Dorian Strong, as you guys know, placed on injury reserve this past Saturday. He's going to see a specialist. And then at this point, no decisions have been made on the guys that are currently on IR to open their window at this point. So we'll go from there. I think that should cover most of it, if not all of it. So if you have questions, happy to answer them.
With Matt just clarifying, when they tweaked, it was the same injury that
he was
dealing
with. Yes. Mm-hmm.
With Dorian seeing the specialists, is there a fear that it is potentially, I know when you hear neck, it's potentially very serious, season ending. Do you have any other insight into that?
Yeah, I don't know much other than I don't think anything at this point can be ruled out at this point. So we'll see where it goes.
Sean, there was just a replay from the broadcast angle with Josh coming up limping a little bit yesterday. Is there anything injury front with him?
No, I just sore overall. I mean, as you saw, he took some shots there and he plays extremely hard, but just sore overall at this point.
And similarly with Dalton Kincaid, looked like something with a hand there at some point. Anything on him?
Yeah, he's sore as well. Dealing with just some overall body soreness right now, and we'll see where that goes here.
You mentioned last night that in the second half in particular, just disappointing stopping some of those passes by May. I mean, after watching the video, how do you feel that your secondary handled those situations? I know the rush also plays a role in that.
Yeah, I mean, like anything, you know, we can do a better job overall, coaching, playing. It's never just one area. It's never just coverage or just rush. It's a shared deal there. So I thought the quarterback extended some plays and made some good throws, and we've got to make more plays on the ball overall as a defense. I think we had one, and it was a defensive lineman in terms of the pass breakup part of things there. So, we've got to do a better job there.
What do you make of the lack of PBUs from just your secondary as a whole through 5 weeks?
Yeah, well, you know, the game is making plays and making plays on the ball, and that's kind of the obvious part, and you want to be able to challenge. And in order to do that, you got to be in great position and have your eyes in the right spot and play with great technique and then win your one-on-one. And so that's an important part of playing good defensive football.
You're well known for it. You know, I mean, every week you always say we have things to clean up. Does it hit home more after a loss, you know, to the team, do you think? Does that message get through even more to the team after a loss like that?
You would hope, yeah. I mean, you know, we've done a good job, I would say, overall. You're never perfect of responding when things haven't gone well result-wise. Myself as a coach and us as coaches, and the players do a really good job with this week-to-week, too, even following wins of being honest with themselves and being truthful in our conversations and objective on things we need to improve on. So that's, you know, no different this week. But, you know, the result that we got and how we were basically playing uphill all night, I think the guys felt that, and that's no way to play a game.
Given that you, I mean, this team has been known for not beating itself for so long, that you did that, I mean, how uncharacteristic was that? How, I don't want to say concerning, but just what did you take of the fact that you beat yourself for the first time in a while?
Never good. Don't want to live that life. Like I said, don't want to play that style of game. It's really hard to do that and come out on top. And it's a good reminder for us, if we handle it the right way, it's a good reminder for us of how you really don't want to play and don't want to live that type of life. And why it's important we stay on the details, we stay disciplined, and we stay urgent in our approach. We finish plays and we take care of the football, make good decisions with the ball in our hands. And all those things are kind of the foundation of what leads to the results.
You mentioned after the game wanting to review the film before fully weighing in on the separation from the wide receivers, which you were asked about. Mm-hmm. Now that you've had an opportunity to do that, how did you view that?
Yeah, you know, there was times where we had some, there was times where we didn't. You know, I thought overall, you know, we want to get more. I mean, it's easier said than done, though. They're playing good defense. You know, they're doing some things. They did some things that they hadn't shown maybe on tape as well, and affected some of the scheme part as well. So again, it's never just one piece. It's you know, all 11 making one play go, and we didn't do enough of that from the start, in particular in the first half. Second half was better if you look at just the results of the second half per series. And then we had the one drive there in the second half where we turned the ball over going in, and you can't do that either. You got points, you know, and so all these little things add up to, you know, playing, making the game more difficult than it really needs to be. And so, again, hopefully we can learn from those situations.
Was there any specific reason why Keon Coleman did not play in the first offensive series?
Yeah, discipline. Yeah. Head coach discipline.
Something throughout the week?
Yes.
That's not the first time that you've been through that with him. Is that disappointing in the sense that, I don't know what the specific issue is, but is it disappointing that there is an issue that created the need for that?
Yes. Yep.
Conversations been like with Keon, then, like, making sure this doesn't continue going forward?
Well, we expect more, and he has shown growth this year. He has. We're looking for more consistency.
Consistency in, like, any specific area?
Growth, maturation, that leads to consistency more than anything. And like anything else, you have winning habits, it leads to winning on the field. And so that's really what we're trying to create, and that's what we're here to do, is help young men in this case grow and mature and develop and become professionals, and that's part of the process.
Given how his game, how his day began, being disciplined, how do you factor in that fumble, and how do you address that with him, knowing that, you know, he's trying to grow and develop?
Well, mistakes happen. I mean, accidents happen. None of us are perfect, including myself. And there's an element of, hey, how can we learn from it and grow? And there's also an element of, hey, are we given, separate of this situation specific to Keon, but, you know, we're playing hard. Are we playing hard? Are we playing with the right technique? Are we playing with detail and the proper level of discipline and everything that leads into you know, looking for the winning results that we look for in terms of how you handle a situation. So you're always trying to teach, always trying to grow. None of us are finished products, and yet at the same time, you know, these guys have to make sure we're taking an urgency in our approach to execute the way we need to execute.
Sean, you've gotten a lot from Matt Milano in his career here in Buffalo. You've been with him the entirety of it. It's 3 years running now, though, that he's not been able to stay healthy. What do you do in a situation like this where, you know, it's becoming increasingly more difficult to rely on him to be able to stay on the field?
Yeah, no, that's what it's been from the standpoint of his injuries the last, you know, 2 to 3 years, as you mentioned, Jay. And I don't want that for him. Nobody wants that for him. And nobody works harder than Matt Milano to stay healthy. And And so, you know, right now it's going to be a next man up for this week, and we'll take it one day and apparently now 1 week at a time and just see where it goes.
Sean, is injured reserve a consideration for Matt?
Not what I'm being told at this point. So,
with your film review over the last, whatever, 18 hours or so, cornerback specifically, both Christian and Tre'Davious, what did you see from them? And then the totality of the season, are you concerned at all at the level of play there between those two guys who've started a lot of games for you?
Yeah, they're both good football players. You know, I've seen them play better than they did last night. And
avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, you look at it and say, hey, are we winning enough outside one-on-one? And the answer last night was no. So we've got to be able to win those one-on-ones in key situations of the game. And, you know, we remain confident in both those guys.
The secondary as a whole, you know, with you guys, it's always been predicated on communication, right? Is that something that you feel like the group of them, Taryn included, the safeties, they're still working through?
I would say to some extent, yes, just because we're still somewhat, you know, it's not new in the season. It's not a young season, but we're now going into what will be game six and some of the communications, you know, we got, you know, Cole being a little bit new back there and things, but, you know, overall, I feel like their communication has been good. It's just more right now, are we making enough plays? Because you gotta make plays at the end of the day, make plays on the ball and come up and tackle well. And that's all part of it as well. Yeah, I think what you saw last night was a young player that kind of hit a couple plays there that he wants back, you know, especially towards the end of the game. Prior to that, I thought he was playing well and had shown signs of improvement. And that's, you know, when you're dealing with a young player, you're going to have some of those games or some moments in games that you want back. And but that is all opportunities for him to learn and then for us to continue to have him grow and move forward.
The message after the game is you hope your guys are taking improvements out of this and learning from this game. We've been coaching this league for a while. Is there sometimes a necessity for a team that aspires to do the kind of thing you do to go through a game like this as maybe like a reset of like, hey, let's get back to work. Let's try to attack this next week. Is that the way you approach it at all? Does that ever show up in the tendencies of how you coach?
I think perspective. I think it starts with perspective is in terms of where we're at, where we're trying to go, how we're trying to grow. You know, making sure we've got the right outlook on things. And if you use things the right way, they are messages to your team, to you as a coach, to you as an individual that, yes, we can improve and here's how we need to improve. And that's everywhere. You look at, you know, are we doing the right things practicing wise? Are we doing the right things in meetings? Are we doing the right things, you know, in terms of do we have the right people out there, right? So you're constantly assessing the team and where the team is and how the team can move forward and making sure it doesn't slide back. And so so the short answer is yes. But that's not easy either. You can't just say, hey, it's going to be okay. We've got to make sure that we are managing things the right way and trying to move our team forward in the proper direction.
Knowing what Josh has done with his team, in many ways, I'm not questioning, but it looked like he was pressing at times yesterday, wanting to run a little bit more. Did you see that in him?
I think at times maybe, you know, overall, but Josh is a competitor, right? He wants to win, and so he's going to do what he feels like he needs to do to help his team win. So I'm never going to question his competitiveness, and I think some of it was just that. Other times maybe trying to do a little bit too much, but Josh is Josh for a reason. I mean, as much as, you know, he makes those great plays, somewhere in there he's going to show that he is human once in a while, and he wants some of those plays back. I mean, he's as competitive with those plays after they don't go his way as he is with the great plays he's made over the years. And, I mean, he's the human eraser. That's what I refer to him as. He makes things go when there's nothing there to be had. And he is who he is for a reason. So he drives the level of play of everyone on our football team.
Had started the first four games with a touchdown on each of your opening drives, so slow starts weren't a problem for the offense. Yesterday, however, you know, two lost fumbles in the first quarter, five accepted penalties against. Anything stand out to you in terms of how that switched so much that you started so slow yesterday?
You know, when you look at it and you're spot on, the first half was slow. I thought that the offense did a really good job at halftime, led by Josh, of just resetting, and you have to be able to reset. But ball handling on the jet sweep to Dawson sounds or looks simple, but it's not. And that was the first fumble, and the second fumble, I believe, was Keon's. Correct me if I'm wrong. You know, again, it's what we preach. And as I said to the team after the game, we played the game the way that they wanted us to play the game. And we can't do that. So we've got to get back to reestablishing and really grooving our fundamentals, our detail, our discipline. Those are the things that have made us good for so long. And you cannot get away from those things. The minute you do is the minute it starts looking like that. And I just that's just not who we are.
You said yesterday that at times it was a little too cute. Was the Dawson Knox play kind of one of those?
Just overall. I mean, just, you know, there's a lot of different ways that could go, and I don't want to single out one play. You know, those. It's overall just more physical, more urgent. Some of the, you know, you get a couple plays here and there like that. Hey, we're going downhill, and we're going to run through people. And, but I don't want to single out a play. It's just, you know, yeah, back to basics.
What did Jimmy Charlo do during the spot on the active?
I mean, Jimmy's approach every week, every day really is, he's one of the first ones in, one of the last to leave. You know his story. It's been documented, I believe. And he's got great energy every day, no matter if he's up for a game or not up for a game, which to me speaks volumes about who he is, his character. Football's important to him, and he's a big-time team player. So I'm happy for him, and he went out and competed his first NFL game. And, you know, I was proud that of him because it wasn't too big for him. He went out there and inspired people by his play and his effort. And honestly, those are things you look for.
When you look at, you mentioned needing more from the wide receivers. Is it a matter of there more play calling, scheming that you can do to help those guys, or is it more – got to win some one-on-one battles too.
Yeah, probably both. Yeah, I mean, there's things we can always do as a coaching staff. You're always, I mean, I'm going back right now, looking at it again, and I had to take a break to come down here. But just making sure, you know, you put another set of eyes on it one more time, looking at it through a different lens maybe. But, yeah, this, again, it starts with all of us looking at ourselves and saying, hey, how can I be better and what do I need to do to grow? And there are one-on-one situations as well, and then, you know, it's like I said, it's not always just, you know, one player or one position. So it really starts just with that foundation I mentioned a few minutes ago, of just making sure we're disciplined in our approach, we're detailed, we understand where I line up and how that affects the overall outcome of the play.
Dalton Kincaid had a career game last night. What has impressed you about his work ethic this season?
Yeah, again, here's a guy last, you know, coming out of last season that was questioned a little bit, and his work ethic has, I think, really speaks volumes for who he is, and the results are a result of his hard work. He is highly competitive, driven, wants to be as good as he can be, and I think every catch he makes, you kind of feel that with, you see the passion that comes out, and I love watching him. It's fun. It's fun to watch him play.
What did Brandon Jackson do to Ernie Bearzy yesterday?
Yeah, you know, he's handled being inactive the right way. I think that's, again, where it starts. And then we felt like we needed to get a little bit more physical on first and second down with bringing a bigger body into the mix there. And he had roughly 15 to 20 plays.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.